senza il tuo male pensiero.
Salama, 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 King. the Prince of Peace. You are the Prince of Peace. We give you praise. In 1 minute, can you just prophesy peace over everything you're going through now? Come on, go ahead, prophesy shalom. I told you that shalom is not just peace. It means welfare. It means prosperity. Come on, go ahead, prophesy peace. Prophesy peace over the state. Prophesy peace over the nation, Nigeria. Prophesy peace over this state, over this town, over the affairs of your life, over your family, over all that is happening around you. Come on, go ahead, prophesy the peace of the Lord. 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 Shirababa Shamra de Kataya. Rababa Shata Kabala Pandeka. Kurababa Shalaba Priyaganadamesh. Shara da 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 da. Come and prophesy peace over your siblings, over your parents, over every form of turmoil in your family. Oh, we declare the peace of the Lord. Rababa Shira da 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 da. Lord, we thank you. Blessed be your name, Father. We honor you. Thank you for your presence, O God. We ask that tonight you have your way mightily. Transform us by the entrance of your word. Let people leave here with directions, with instructions, revelation, and let no one remain the same. Thank you, mighty one. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Can you celebrate someone as you take your seat? God bless you. Lord, we thank you. Amen. You're welcome to church tonight. How many of us are excited to be here? Amen. Alright, I want to speak on something I count very important, the book of Psalms. It's usually so exciting to be in the presence of the Lord, because His presence has a way of bringing this peace, bringing this joy. In His presence, there is joy, pleasures forevermore. Psalm 121. Breathe upon me, bread of God. Breathe upon me, Spirit of the Lord. As we lift our hands in surrender to your name, Most High, I'm yielding to your Spirit. And I am walking in your love. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore your holy name. Breathe upon me, bread of God. Breathe upon me, Spirit of the Lord. As I lift my hands in surrender to your name, Most High, I'm yielding to your Spirit, and I am walking in your love. Jesus, I adore your holy name. Wherever you are seated, can you take out 1 minute to talk to the Holy Spirit? Tell him how much you need him. Tell him how much you desire his presence. Tell him how much you can't do without him. Tell him how much you are desperate. Breathe upon me, bread of God. Keep talking to him. Breathe upon me, Spirit of the Lord, as we lift our hands in surrender to your name, Most High. I'm yielding to your Spirit. I am walking in your love. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore your holy name. The mystery of divine help. That's what I'm talking on tonight. The mystery of divine help. Each time you've dwelt on a level for too long, it takes the help of God to exit your present level to your next level. It takes the help of God to exit your present level to your next level. No matter how you try, help is a spiritual phenomenon. It's not just a natural thing. Our text, Psalm 121, a very familiar passage. The psalmist started talking. He said, I look up to the hill. I lift up my eyes to the hill. From whence cometh my help? It was a question. Then verse 2 answered. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. My help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Brothers and sisters, everyone you see walking on the street is in need of help. Either spiritual help, physical help, emotional help, academic help. People are desperately in need of help. And listen, when people have been frustrated over certain issues, they can do anything to get help. This is why when you see people take certain steps or do certain things, you shouldn't be quick to blame them for the things they do. You just need to be in their shoe. Then you realize that they were truly under pressure. They were pushed to the wall. It was truly not their desire to do certain things. But help is divine. I know the Bible says, every good gift come from the Lord. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift come from the Lord. But there is something else I want you to realize. Help can be divinely orchestrated, but it's usually delivered by men. Each time God wants to help you, divinely orchestrated, the next thing he does is that he brings a man into your life. When God wants to change your level, he brings a man into your life. I know many religious people have said all kinds of things. I don't need a man to rise to the top. That sounds so religious, but it's not true. Is that very correct? They tell you, I don't need a man to get to where I'm going. The Lord is enough for me. It's not true. Because even Jesus, the chiefest of all, the man we imitate, needed help. He was terribly anointed, but he needed a man to announce him to his world. At some point, the Bible said he carried the cross and he was so tired. An African helped him. That's my place of interest. My joy is that it was an African man that helped him. Amen. He was so tired. So Africa were able to relate with his pains because we are gifted in helping people. We know how to help people.
Amen. If you have never helped a man, don't smile. The word was not for you. Amen. So I look up to the hill from whence cometh my help. Then he said, my help cometh from the Lord. Remember John chapter 5. The Bible said there was a man who was sitting by a well. It was a custom that once in a year, an angel will always step into the water, the pool. And as soon as he stepped in, any man that stepped into that water first was supposed to be cleansed of his infirmity. Whatever the case was, immediately he was supposed to be healed. And the Bible said there was a man who had been there for 38 years. Never had been able to move himself into the water. Listen to his comment when Jesus asked him. He said, do you want to be clean? Do you want to be healed? His answer was, I truly want to be, but each time the water is troubled, I do not have a mind. Brothers and sisters, we don't get your prosperity by what you have, but by the men surrounded around you. If we want to know whether you are a great man, it's not by the amount of money in your account, but then it's by the number of people you are surrounded with. If you want to know whether I'm a great man or not, don't just sample how I look. Check the people around me. Because one call can address every issue in my life. In fact, do you know that human beings are the greatest source of income? I know many of you think it's business. Start first, let's see. Human beings are the greatest source. It's too light, help me. Of income. Because every money that has ever been deposited in your account was dropped by someone. It was a human being that it was not a spirit. I know there is something called miracle money. We've had testimonies of miracle money. But even the miracle money, most of the time, someone drops it. Hallelujah. So human beings are the greatest source of income. When God wants to step into a life, it can be divinely orchestrated, but then he delivers it into your hand through a man. And this is why everyone that is a believer have to be super sensitive. In fact, not just sensitive, must have the gift of discernment. Your ability to know the people God brings around you part time. Because there are certain people that come around your life. They might not look like what you want, but in reality, they are the custodians of the possibilities you are looking for. Hallelujah. They come disguised. They come not nicely dressed. But when the time show forth for them to expose or to bring forth what God has deposited in them, you truly might be amazed to know that all of the things you've been looking for in your lifetime has been resident with a man that do not look it. So I look up to the hill from whence cometh my help. Others put trust in all kinds of things. Like I told you, help is a spiritual thing. Trust in their chariot. Trust in their horses. He said, but I look up to the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. I trust in the name of the Lord. I want to show you four things quickly that you should know about divine help. Or about help generally, rather. Number one, no man rises to the top without the help of another. I don't care your tribe. I don't care how gifted you are. No man rises to the top without the help of another. It's not possible. I know you have the Lord. I know you are born again. I know you are filled with the revelation of a new creation, man. I'm a new creation. I know who I am. Very good. There is a person that sang a song. I believe there is a song that I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every supply. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I need you to survive. It's not the Lord, though. Because many a times when we are singing that song, it's the Lord that comes to your mind. Lord, I need you to survive. It's your neighbor. It's your neighbor. You truly need him to survive. So any man you see on the top is because he had help. Believe me. There is no man you see at the top, no matter the English they try to speak, someone helped them to get to that point. Someone helped them to get to that point. Listen, no matter how sharp an arrow is, it needs a man to shoot it. Is that true? No matter how sophisticated a gun is, it needs someone to trigger it. A gun cannot shoot itself. I know you are gifted. I know you are good. I know you are handsome. I know you are anointed. But just like Jesus, you need someone to announce you. You need someone to recommend you to the person that needs to hear about you. You need someone to mention your name to the right person that needs to hear. There are sincerely gifted people walking around. Their limitation is that the person that needs to know about them has not heard anything about them. So their giftings have been dormant in them. I know you can do it well, but nobody has heard. I have no man to help me. Each time the water is troubled, no man to help me. I know you are a sharp arrow, but you need a man. You need a man. Even in politics, I think there's something they call political godfather or something. Is that true? In other words, before you get to where I am, I need to hold your hand. You don't rise alone. Believe me, you don't rise alone. Hallelujah. That's the first thing you must know about help. Every man that must rise beyond his present level to the next level of your manifestation or revelation to your world, you need the help of someone. Number two, you need help when you've exhausted your strength and strategies. You need help when you've exhausted your strength and strategies. Every human being will always come to that point where you are bankrupt of the next step to take. You don't just have an idea. You don't know what next. Life has challenged you. You've prayed. You are prayerful. You've prayed. You've studied. You've done everything you know to do, but you just do not know the next step to take. Has anybody been there before? No, if you have not been there, it's just a matter of time. Life will introduce you to it. You don't need to pray about it. You just keep rising in life. All of a sudden, you step into a season of your life. It looks like everything you know, your mind has gone blank. You are studying the word of God. There is no direction. You are praying. You can't hear anything. At that point, you need help. You need help. You need help. So every human being will always come to that point. And that's why he said, let him that lack wisdom ask. If you need wisdom to move from where you are to the next level, don't just assume you have it. You should be able to know you don't have it by how long you've been around that environment. He told them, you've dwelt long enough on this mountain. It's time to move. But then the word has to come to bring the direction. It's time to move. Each time you realize that you've been on a position for too long, brother, you need help to move. You need help. One of the worst things that can happen to a man is to assume he knows everything. A costly assumption. Number three. People must accept you first before they help you. They must accept your person first. Before they help you. If they don't like you, if they have a problem liking your personality, believe me, they have a problem helping you. If they have a problem relating with your person, they have a problem helping you. And I really love to talk about this, because many people go through life and they live such a careless life. No honor for people, no respect for people. They believe they have everything in themselves to become what they want to be. Believe me, brothers and sisters, it's not possible you have everything. It's not possible. Hallelujah. So when people cannot like your person, when they are finding problem with the way you behave, the way you talk, the way you move, you can't ask for help. In fact, there are people, each time somebody is saying good about them, someone who knows them well will just come and make one statement, and it has scattered everything. Is that true? It has scattered everything. They won't have it again. And each time there is a problem of people liking you, it can be either a spiritual thing or an attitudinal thing. A problem caused by attitude. Attitudinal. Each time there is that problem, people don't just accept your person. They don't tend to relate well with you. There is a problem, people staying around you, or when you stay around them, they seem to just walk away. Each time they promise you help, the next thing you call, they don't pick your call. All kinds of things happening. Check it. It's a problem of character, attitude, or a spiritual problem. And of course, if it's a spiritual problem, it can be handled in one miracle service. Is that true? But if it's a problem of character, it can take a lifetime. Because many people who have character problems do not even know they have it. It's hard for a man to discern a fault in his own character. A man can be proud, but truly he believes he's the humblest person. A man can be arrogant, but he believes he deserves everything. So when it's the issue of character, it can take a lifetime. It can keep a man in a position for as long as possible. And this is why we need discernment. And not just discernment. This is why you have to always go back to the Lord on a personal retreat. After a while, there should be what I call soul searching. Like David, he said, "Lord, search my heart," Psalm 139. "Know my ways. If there be any evil way, if there is any trace of character flaw," he said, "redirect my path." There should be a moment where you sit down, begin to examine your life. This thing almost came, it didn't come again. This man promised help, it didn't come. This one wanted to come and do this, it didn't happen again. What's wrong? Is he a spiritual problem? And if it is, how do I handle it? And if it's a character problem, quickly cry out for help. Oh God. Oh God. And as you pray about it, begin to take practical steps to adjust. Because brothers and sisters, every man is absolutely responsible for his character. God is never responsible. You are absolutely responsible for your character. If you work on it, it will be worked upon. If you allow it, that's how it remains. Hallelujah. So the reason why many will never have help, never have help, character. They enter a place today, before you know, nobody likes them again. And many of them will begin to blame everybody around except themselves. Everybody will be wrong. The problem will be with everybody except themselves. A very terrible way of living. In fact, if I have such friends, I will run away from them. Because if they are blaming everybody before you, one day they will blame you before another person. Is that true? Yeah, they will. They will. They will. So number one is what? Every man that has risen. Right? Number two. Again. You need help when you are exhausted. Or when you've exhausted your strategies and then your strength. Hallelujah. Then number four. Is it number four now? You must position yourself well to receive help. You must position yourself for help to receive help. If you are not positioned for it, you don't receive it. If you are not positioned for help, you don't receive it. How do I get myself positioned? As soon as you notice that there is a problem with your character, don't just sit and watch it. Begin to work on it consciously. consciously, the Lord begin to point to you that you have problem with anger. Don't just say it's my nature. There are people like that. I can't help it. I was giving birth to like that. Even my father has it. Can't you see where your father is ending? Huh? Even my mother has anger. I've tried everything. It's not going. So I just believe it's part of me. No. It can't be part of you. Check and see how that anger thing have deprived you of so many opportunities. Check and see how the anger thing have caused you so many troubles. Many relationships have been gone because of anger. Many good friends have left you because of anger. Even your parents, if there was a way, they would send you out of the home because of anger. Hallelujah. So each time you notice a trace, sit down. Don't just condone it. It's called complacency, where you just accept it and you are relaxing it. Don't be complacent. Don't accept it. Or you notice there is a problem with lies. Then you start telling yourself, I'm going to be a great businessman. With lies in your mouth. When people deal with you once and they find out that you are not a man of integrity, do you think they will come again? No, come on. Nobody is a fool. Any man you see in business intend to make profit. So as soon as they step into an agreement with you and realize that you are not a truthful person, and there are many believers like that who will tell you, if all of us keep saying the truth, that means we won't become anything. You will keep lying, and I assure you, you won't become anything too. Hallelujah. Lies. Position yourself for help. Position yourself. The Bible said, and Jotham prepared his ways before the Lord. Then he became mighty. He prepared, he positioned himself. There are many God will come to lift, and when he comes and look at you, he will realize, in fact, you will be the one with your attitude telling him, I'm not ready yet. Please, Lord, go. When I'm ready, you can lift me. But the man believes he's ready and he's praying. Oh God, I need help. I showed you a scripture sometimes back when we were on the previous series. Galatians 4 verse 1. You can write it down. How that your father could own everything. Paraphrasing now. Everything in the house could be your father's property. But he says, so long as you are a minor, a child. He said, you are not different from a servant in the house. So your father has it, but you are deprived of it. He said, as soon as your father notices that you are a child, what the father does is that he brings a governor, a man, to teach you. Which means the child mentioned here is not childish because of his age. His childishness is related to knowledge. Is that true? It's not his age. So as soon as your father notices that you are a child, the Bible says he brings in a governor, a man, that begin to teach you and mentor you. Then when you are matured enough, he said he can relinquish those things into your hand. He can give them into your hands. So position yourself. Get ready for help. I have a question. If God comes today to lift you, will you be prepared? Don't just be quick to answer. No, do you think you'll be prepared? All the things you are asking the Lord to do, he's ready to bring the help. But the question is, because each time you see the word of God comes in a certain direction, it's because there are people who are really supposed to benefit from it. Is that true? So now that the Lord is talking about divine help, should it be that you are among those is about to send out his arm of help? But the question now is, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you positioned enough to have it? Are you positioned? Because you must be positioned for it. You lead me and guide me to my place of destiny. You lead me and guide me to the city up above. You lead me and guide me to my place of destiny. You lead me and guide me to the sea. Oh, you lead me. Yeah.
to the city of glory. You lead me and guide me to the city of above. You lead me and guide me to the destiny.
I want us to take 5 minutes and pray. As you are seated, in the next 5 minutes, you're going to pray and say, Lord, release into my spirit strength strategies for greatness. Help me with strategies that commands greatness. Oh God, strategies for greatness. Lift your voice and pray. Don't just be quiet. Koraba shata tata tata pakata. Shabrande kosabalada badamaya. Rabako sabalada brande katesha. Shabrate kapate kete ketebesha. Kabrande kosabalada. Shabrate kete porata kaya. Oh God, strategies for greatness. I know you are gifted, but then it looks like you need strategies. I don't know why we have to pray this, but lift your voice and pray. I know you like business, but should it be that the strategies for success in business are not there? Lord, strategies, 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 strategies. Kabarada France Katabella de Praia. Korababa Shata de Besh. Kabrate Katiana. Shabrate Kapate Kosata. Araba Shabrate Kataya. Lord, strategies to rise to the top. Strategies to move to my destiny. Strategies. Ramblas capros capetekea. Shabrata katila de benda. Errakapata katabela de mesh. Korabash capretekele de brandaka. Shababarekatele de mesh. Korabash caprentekele de praia. Lord, infuse into my spirit. Deposit into my spirit. Strategies. Deposit into my spirit strategies. Strategies, oh God. Rababalada prata kasila da praya. Korabaya. He said, let him that lack wisdom ask of the Lord that giveth without upbraiding, that giveth liberally. Korabashabrate kerataka. Kabashate ketapeteka. Rabrons coprete kelida brande keta. Kabashata barreke sila brata. Eke sibarada bakate kete. Ela branda kurabash ketaya. My God. Hallelujah. One of the ways to even position yourself, we're going to talk about this maybe next week or so. One of the ways to position yourself for help is that you must be competent. As you wait for the help, be working on yourself. As you sit and wait for someone to hear your name and get to know about your product and the things you do, please ensure you are good at what you do, because certain opportunities can come to men when they are not prepared. They can come. They can come. So when they come, the question is, will you be ready? Will you be prepared? Because there is nothing as painful as opportunities coming to you, but then you realizing that you are not even ready. Opportunities have come. The help has come. You were not prepared. Even you yourself knew you were not ready. I've said this a couple of times here, and I will say it again. Had Joseph appeared before Pharaoh without mastering his ability to interpret dreams, he would have gone back to the dungeon. He would have gone back to the dungeon. It was not his face that Pharaoh wanted to see. In fact, when they were bringing him, Pharaoh said, shave this guy. I don't want to see all of this is BS. It's not his face. There is something he carries. I've been told. So bring him. Let me prove him. As soon as Joseph appeared, he said, interpretation belongs to the Lord. Oh Pharaoh, this was the dream and this is the interpretation. He said, make this man my governor. Make this man next to me. So the question is, when God will be set to lift you, when opportunities will come your way, are you going to be ready? Will you be prepared? Or you are just walking around and trusting, hoping? And you see, this is the difference between hope and faith. A man who has hope just has the picture of what he wants in his mind, and he's believing that one day God will be merciful to bring it to pass. A man that has faith has the picture in his mind, but then he's taking practical steps to ensure that that thing comes to pass. That's the difference. Look at what the Bible says. It said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope must be part of the faith equation. The picture must be in your mind. But as soon as the picture has crystallized, there must be something you are doing. Because all the patriarchs of faith in the book of Hebrews 11 were found doing something. None of them was sitting down. And Abel offered. Noah built. All of them, there was something they were doing. So they had their dreams, but they didn't just sit back and hoped that one day somebody would just come and say, what's your name? I'm Jonathan Shekonya. Oh yeah, come, wear your suit, follow me. To where? To where? Is that how it happens? If that's what you sit and wait for, then one day you will be amazed that now you are 40 years old and those dreams that you had when you were 25 are still your dreams. Yeah. Positioned for help. You need help either from man or God. Are you positioned for it? Are you ready? I want to briefly go into the sources of help. God being the major of them. Maybe we'll just try and be done with. There are six in number, and then we'll trust God to pray and then continue or finish up next week. Oh Lord, I need help. Ooh. Listen, where I am today, I know is the help of God. No, I know it. And where I will be tomorrow, I know that I'm not going to get there until God decides to help me. Believe me. And God can use any man to help me. Even you looking at me. Yeah, you are quietly sitting. One day God will tell you, come, go and help my son. He said, Lord, I don't like his face. It's not about his face. It's about the purpose of God in his life. Yeah. This is why people will come your way in times to come. They don't like you, but they don't know why they've come to help you. Huh? That's the mystery. When the assignment of God is upon your life and you are well prepared, you are ready to fulfill it, God begins to raise men. Yeah. Many of them will come around you and hate you. They will envy you and criticize you. They think they are doing you harm. But what God is using that to do is that he's using it to prepare you. How many of you know that envy is good? How many of you know that hatred is good? You are not now answering. Huh? Because you are that believer that likes chicken and suya. You just let it just be rosy. Let nobody put trouble on you. You are joking. You are not ready for greatness yet. Can't you see that even the day you choose to wear a new shoe, somebody look at you with one eye? As little as a new shoe is, then you believe that one day you buy a car, they should be clapping for you. Well done. Huh? It's your car. It's fine. You think so? To your face, some of them will come and say, okay, so because you have car now, you can't visit us again. There are many of them who can be that bold to come and confront you. So it's not cheap to be great. The persecutions alone can want to kill you. Believe what I'm telling you. This is why when you see a man that is great and you are desiring his greatness, don't be fast to desire it. Please study his life to know the things he's going through. If they put you in that shoe, will you survive it? It's not cheap to be great. Believe me, it's not cheap to rise. It's not cheap to be celebrated. It's not cheap. But my joy is that where you are now, God has helped you. And if he has brought you to this level, he's faithful to take you to where you are going. Yeah, he is. He will never start out with you and drop you halfway.
No, come on now.
We serve a faithful God. The Bible says he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he has said it, if he has promised you help, all you need to do is to position yourself. Because his word will surely come to pass. Surely. Surely. So the first source of help is God himself. The Lord, Yahweh. He said, I will look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. Then he answered himself. He said, my help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. 1 Samuel 7, 12 and 13. You can write it down. Most of the scriptures we might not turn there. The Bible says, after Samuel has fought the Philistine, and then he has pushed them back to their territory, then he came to a place called Mizpeh, and then Shen, and then he set up an altar there, and then he proclaimed, hitherto has the Lord helped us. Jehovah Ebenezer. That was where we got the name Ebenezer. Jehovah my helper. Listen, if God had decided to help a man, I don't care who decided not to help you. If God is on my side, who can be against me? If you have God on your side, you might be working for a man who don't like you, but he too is working for a God who likes you. No, come on, that's it now. If he's controlling his job, there is somebody who controls the job, including him. So whether he likes you or not, provided God have chosen to honor you, God have chosen to honor you, to elevate you, nobody stops it. So he's the major source of help. The psalmist said, I will look up to the Lord. My help come from the Lord. My help come from the Lord. And each time you need help from God, see, you must admit that you truly need help. Don't just come. You must admit that you need help. He said, come boldly into the throne of grace. You will obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Hebrews 4:16. In times of need. So God is the chiefest or the major source of help. Number two, angelic help. There is something called angelic help. It's the divine intervention of angels into the natural realm to bring help to men. Divine intervention. That you know that this thing, if God was not involved, that car would have turned over. And all of a sudden, you don't know what happened. You just saw that you were, and you're wondering, my God, what happened? Hallelujah. Bishop was going back for his service in Kogi State. And the day he was going back, he said, their car, he don't just know how it happened. This is a house. This is a gutter. The car was in between. How the car passed, because the car just digressed into. And there was a major ditch beside the house. How the car narrowly passed by. He said he can't explain how it happened. This is what we call angelic help. That you know that if not for God stepping in. At times you see a trailer that walk over a car, but the people come out as though nothing happened. Have you seen that before? Angelic. Angelic. Angels bring both strategies and help. Remember Joshua 5, verse 13 to 15. You could write it down. When Joshua was to fight Jericho, he has fought many nations. He has conquered all the nations. But this time around, this is Jericho. And there has not been a nation he conquered that was fortified with walls. The wall of Jericho alone would have been like from this wall of this church, maybe to that end. Because the Bible said 12 chariots could run side by side. In fact, people started building their houses on top of the fence. So it was not easy for you to break through the wall of Jericho. Joshua have conquered all the nation. But this time around, there is a nation that is fortified. He didn't know how to go. The Bible said he went out one evening to seek counsel. And while he prayed, an angel appeared. Then he asked, are you for us or against us? He said, I'm the host of the Lord's army. I came as a commander, rather, of the Lord's army. And then he said, right now we need a strategy. He said, all you need to do is to walk around. Walk around. Once each day. Be quiet. Don't be afraid. Just walk around. And then on the seventh day, walk around seven times. And then give a shout of praise. Tahila. At that point, you're going to engage the angelic host. Because that battle was not fought by men alone. Angels. Are they no ministering spirits? Sent to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not ministering spirit? So each time you need help, send your angels to work. Everybody has an angel. Say amen. And not just one. Yeah, angels in charge of various aspects of your life. And do you know that men angel look like them, or people's angel look like them? So if you are short, for instance, it's possible your angel is and looks exactly like you. It's in your Bible. How did I know? The Bible said when Peter was released from the prison, he came knocking the door, and someone came and opened. It's Peter. And she ran back with excitement. She told them Peter is released. And the people said, no, it's his angel, which means they knew that people's angel look exactly like them. They knew. Angelic encounter was normal with them in the early church. So it is his angel. It's not, he's not the one. So the way I'm looking like this, my angel look like me. He's just walking around me now. Amen. And yours is sitting close to you. Apostle, there is no empty chair around me. That's what somebody is thinking now. They don't need chair to sit. Hallelujah. It's possible they've shifted your neighbor and they are sitting close, but you are still sitting close to him. Say amen. Many of you are wondering now. No, don't you know it's possible? Let me give you another proof for it. Remember Elisha and Elijah? Sorry, Elisha and Gehazi. Gehazi running, crying. Master, we are finished. Look at these armies. And then he said, open his eyes and let him see those who are with us. Those who surround us. As soon as his eyes were open, the Bible said he saw the multitude that were with them. And then he started saying, no, come on, they can come. The question now is, if they were standing close to themselves, because the armies were surrounding them, the Lord's army were surrounding Elisha and surrounding Gehazi. So if they were standing close, where did the armies, where did the angels stand in between them? Which means you can stand close to a man like this, but right in between, an angel can be standing. Listen, this is why people can have accident. They were sitting on the same seat. One died. The other was secured. Is that true? And you wonder what happened. Although they were sitting close, one lost it and the other was saved. You can be sitting close to a man and this one can be healed. You came with the same sickness, you go back with it. So angels bring help. Number three source of help. God uses friends to bring help. God uses your friends so that when God starts bringing people your way, you must value them. I teach on this again and again. Value men. Respect people. Honor people. Any man God brings your way comes for a reason. Any man God brings into your life, any woman, is for a reason. So when they come, you must be wise to keep them around you. You must be wise to value them. You must be wise to discern the reason why God brings them. Many of them serve as source of advice. Many of them not just advice. Many of them are prayer partners. Is that true? Each time you have a challenge, you call a friend. Please pray along with me. They are helpers. Many of them are confident. People you could share things with. And then they feel your pains. Although I know there are friends to who you can't trust. As soon as you say a thing. In fact, it's like they are hanging around you to hear something. As soon as they hear, they run away. Then they go to spread the news around. Hallelujah. But then there are genuine friends that can be confident. Each time they are around you, you are relaxed. Each time they are around you, you know things cannot go bad. Each time they are around, you know help is around. Friends can be source of help. Hallelujah. When God bring friends your way, value them, keep them. Don't chase them away, keep them. You might not know why he bring them. In fact, so many of them, they are coming. They might look like, how do I put this now? They might not look like the help you desire. They might not even have what you think you need now. But God brought them for a reason. I shared a testimony here of someone who was in a ministry and they used to call him, brother, give me transport. Huh? Every time service closed, she would meet somebody. Give me transport. I mean, every time. So they now name him, brother, give me transport. So as soon as service closed, everybody will find his way because they know, hey, brother, give me transport, jam you on the door. Then you are the one that day. Brother, give me transport. But one day the Lord turned the story of brother, give me transport. Because situations are not supposed to remain the same forever. The Bible always says, and it came to pass, which means whatever you are going through will one day come to pass. It will. It will. They might laugh now, no problem. A great man of God in our nation had one spiritual son. He said, every time the spiritual son sees him, he said, please give me money. In fact, the spiritual son will carry his friends. They will go when they reach the papa, we have come. My friend need this. This one need this. And me, I need this. And he will have to give. Because he won't leave until he gives something. The next time when the father sees the son coming, he says, oh, how much do you need? How much? Because he know it has to be. The question will be, how much? Just tell me how much. When you tell him, he remove it and give. One day, he was tired. He said, Lord, me, I'm tired. I want to leave this boy. Let me send him away. What kind of son is this? Other song are bringing seed. Him is collecting seed from the father. And God said, all sons are not the same. Allow him. One time, he had prayed for somebody in Lagos for a contract or something. Sorry, for a child. And then finally, the Lord visited that family and they got that child. The man brought 250 million and gave that man of God that was always collecting money from his father. Then this time around, he called his father again. Then the father said, how much? Because he already knows that it has to be money. He said, how much? He said, no, daddy, the story has changed. Send me your account. He said, no, what are you saying? Please, how much? How much? I already have your account number. How much? He said, no, daddy, the thing has turned around. Send me your account. Brothers and sisters, whatever you are going through now is not supposed to last forever. Believe me. Believe me. If God did it for your neighbor, are you not happy because he's in the neighborhood? Just start celebrating. Who knows? By leaving his house, it might be your house. It might be. Or you have a friend who is like that. Please don't send him away. Because God might brought him, or it's possible God brought him your way to test you. Yeah. So God is just watching. God is just watching. Friends are sources of help. And if God give you two genuine friends, be grateful. If he gives you five, be grateful. None of them is supposed to be a waste. All of them has a part to play in your life. Believe it. Hallelujah. Number what now? Number four, your parents. Our parents are also sources of help. Wow, you don't need an explanation for this. The story of Jacob, how Rebecca helped him to steal the blessings, and eventually she helped him to escape. Of course, helped him to escape, because he didn't even know he was supposed to escape. He was comfortable around. The mother said, no, the way I'm seeing this thing, your elder brother might kill you. Please, let's send him away. And then Proverbs 22. You could study that one at home. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he's grown, he will not depart from it. The next verse. How do you train him? He didn't say by flogging him. Huh? What did the next verse say? Because it told us exactly how to train up that child. What to show him. He said you should tell him that the rich ruleth over the poor. Huh? You're looking at me. You've not seen that passage. Turn there quickly. Proverbs 22. It was not talking about flogging a child. The place that talk about flogging a child, I think it says spear the rod, and that one is for flogging. This one has nothing to do with flogging, because from verse 1 the Bible started talking about riches. Huh? A good name is rather better than riches, and all of those, it was riches all through. Then verse 6, what did he say? Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not what? This is what you are supposed to teach your child. Verse 7 now. That the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower a servant to the lender. You know what that means? Teach your child that as he's growing, he must master the principles of wealth. He shouldn't want to become poor. He must know it, that if he's poor, he will be a servant all the days of his life. And so if your parents are able to train you and show you this, even if they are not able to show you this, but they are able to expose you to a certain dimension of light, they've helped you. Apart from the physical help of breastfeeding, taking care of you, paying your fees, and all of those things put together. You want to go out and tell you are not going anywhere today, and you think they are wicked. Eventually you know that they loved you. Hallelujah. So parents are a major source of help. Let's see the last two and then we'll pray. Your pastor or prophet are also a major source. God uses to bless us or to help us. Your pastors or your prophet or your apostle. Eh? No. So if I don't say that one now, it's okay. So apostles are not included. Including you. As I'm talking now, I'm helping you. Say amen. Yeah. Jeremiah 3:15. He said, I will give you pastors after my heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Any man that is able to give you an understanding, any man that is able to feed you with knowledge has helped you. Hallelujah. So he said, pastors will do that. And that's what I'm doing this night. I'm trying to tell you how you need to be positioned for help. That's help. So I will give you pastors, and they will help you. Remember the story of Samuel and Eli. Eli was in the tabernacle, in the temple. And each time God speak, or when God started attempting to talk to Samuel, he didn't know the voice of God. So he will always run back to his master Eli. Two times. On the second time, he said, no, go back. Because the Bible said, Eli perceived that the Lord was about to talk to this boy, or the Lord was calling. He said, go back. As soon as you hear that voice, this is how you should respond. He was helped to respond to the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. When your pastor pray for you, when he decree words over your life, this is what we call help. Help. In fact, somebody sent me a text. He said, sir, you are in my prayer list. I said, oh, this is the greatest thing you could ever do to me. Thank you so very much that my name is in your prayer list. Each time you pray, you mention my name before God. Thank you very much. It's not money. It's not gift. The best help a man can ever give you. Prayer. Samuel said, I will not sin against God by not praying for Israel. Which means any pastor that refuses to pray for his people is sinning against God. Huh? Any pastor that refuses to pray for his people, to teach his people and feed them with understanding of kingdom principles, already is a sin. So pastors, this is why when I see people disregard their men of God, already you are telling God, I don't want to rise in life. Yeah. Any disregard for your pastor, any disregard for your prophet, in fact, even if it's not your prophet, that you just see a man of God and start criticizing. Let me shock you. Listen. I'm doing a series now in Massacre, and I quoted the book of Numbers 12 from verse 1. The Bible says, Aaron, I'm just digressing a little, Aaron and Miriam started talking against Moses. Verse 1 said, because they married an Ethiopian woman, because he married an Ethiopian woman, an African woman, a black woman. And they started complaining, why will he marry? God told us that no one should marry from. Then verse 2 said, they started complaining again. Is he only Moses that can hear the voice of God? Their real problem was not that he married an Ethiopian. Their real problem is that he has been able to pay a price to rise to a point where he could hear the voice of God. When they started talking against that man of God, guess what God did? The Message Bible said, and God overheard their gossip. Which means anytime you gossip a man of God, God hears. And it counts against you. The Bible said God overheard their gossip. They were men of God. Which means men of God too can gossip one another. Yeah. It's not just pastors. It's not just members. Even men of God can criticize themselves. The Bible said God overheard their gossip. Look at what he did. He said, Miriam, Aaron, come out, meet me in the camp. Moses, Miriam, Aaron. God started talking to them. He said, who are you to talk against my servant Moses? The New Testament version puts it this way. He said, who are you to judge another man's servant? Who are you to talk against my servant? He said, to you, I speak to you through dreams and through visions. But to my servant Moses, he has paid a level of price that now I talk to him face to face. That one, he didn't get it cheaply. He didn't come by impartation. Remember, he has spent days on the mountain alone, 80 days, without eating, without drinking, so that each time you are opening your mouth to blab against a man of God, brother, do you know the sacrifices of becoming a man of God? You sleep every night and snore away your destiny. Very lazy. But when you wake up, your mouth is running from left, right, and center. Look at what God did. The Bible said God was angry. Then he left them. As soon as he left, Miriam became leprous. God told me something. He said it was not God that cost Miriam. It was the sacrifice of Moses in the secret place that rewarded her. Which means anytime you criticize a man of God, the sacrifices, the pains on his knees in the place of prayer, the sacrifice of sitting with the word of God to help and advance the kingdom, that sacrifice begins to fight your destiny. You don't expect to rise when you are criticizing men of God. Come on now. And then you call yourself a believer, you are joking. That throne that backs him will judge you and fight you. It won't be God. No way, it won't be God. So that when you hear men talking about men of God, better repent. You will never hear my mouth criticizing a man of God. For what? No, for what? No way, no way, no way. So they are a major source of blessing. That was just a digression. They are always a major source of blessing. Each time a man of God said, the Lord bless you, you had better take it serious. Better take it serious, because Balak looked for Balaam to just come and curse the people so that he can be able to have access to them to destroy them. Just the spoken word have the ability to create a hedge around you, and a spoken word can remove that hedge around you. A spoken word. Hallelujah. Sometimes back, I heard a testimony of a man who met one of our fathers of faith right now in this nation. Now, of course, he's a very great man of God. God is doing mighty things. When he was starting up, one time he had a problem, so he walked into the church and told the man to give him all the tithe he has been paying. All the tithe I've been paying, I need all my tithe back. He said, we don't have tithe cut in this ministry. So I don't know how much you've paid. He said, I've been keeping the record. So give me all the tithe. Yay. They calculated all the money. It was 74,000. And then 74,000 was a big money. The man of God, he said, he rallied round. After the week, he was able to gather 74,000. He brought it and said, man, do you still need this money? So that in case you don't need it, I will quickly return it to the people I borrowed from. He said, I need my money. Then he gave him the money. Then he said, are you going out of this church? He said, yes. As soon as he left, he traveled that same weekend and died on the road. Wait a minute. There is usually a covering over your life. When it is lifted, anything can happen to you. People don't understand the place of spiritual covering. That you are part of a ministry or you are part of a spiritual tribe. Listen, anything that attempt to fight you, you are not the one they are fighting. They are attempting to fight your spiritual tribe. The way I'm standing, you want to use witchcraft to fight me. I don't even need to pray about it, because the spiritual tribe to which I'm connected to is absolutely mysterious and victorious. You will do everything without my prayer. Nothing will happen. Believe me. Believe me. And if you think it's a joke, go and try it. There is some way you can connect. You see, if you see a small boy shouting, check, maybe he's close to his house. Or his father is around. Is that not true? He's shouting and telling you, come now. You think you can do anything? Check close. And you know that that boy on a normal day cannot look at your face. Now he's telling you, see, get out. And he's doing like, you should know there is a backup. Hallelujah. Why do you think David and Goliath turned that battle to a spiritual battle? Goliath had been challenging the children of Israel for 40 days. Nobody came. Now he saw a small boy coming. He said, yeah. If for 40 days, these guys could not produce any army. And after 40 days, I don't know where they were cooking this small boy from. Huh? Then he saw a small boy coming without even a weapon, just with a sling, just playing. Hey, this battle is not ordinary. The Bible says immediately Goliath said, I curse you in the name of our gods. Because he knew that this battle has turned to a spiritual warfare. If this small boy could face me like this, there is something he knows that I do not know. Men of God, your pastor, your prophet are a major source. God uses to bless you. Hosea 12:13. He said, by a prophet I brought them out of Egypt, and by a prophet I preserved them. So if your life will be preserved, who is the man of God in your life? Do you honor him? By a prophet I brought them out, and by a prophet, not by God, I preserved them. He said, believe the Lord your God, you will be established. But when you believe your prophet, your pastor, what happens to you? You prosper. You prosper. Finally, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Hey, help me, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Hey, carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Hey, carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord.
Carry me, Lord.
Carry me, Lord.
Carry me, Lord.
Carry me, Lord.
Carry me,
Lord.
Carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord.
Please help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Generally are a source of help. Men generally. Great, small, big. Generally, men are a source of help. God brings them your way for a reason.
The Bible says a man fell in between thieves. Luke 10 from verse 25, Jesus giving a parable. And then a priest passed by, didn't help. A Levite passed by, didn't help. You know what that means? A priest and a Levite. It means a pastor and a worship minister passed by, we didn't help. No, that's what it means. A priest is a preacher. A Levite is what? A worshiper. So the pastor passed by, he didn't help. Then Paul passed by, a worshiper, and didn't help. Then the Bible says a certain man just passed, then came and helped. Took him to an inn, gave money, take care of him, returned back, paid the final bills. There are people that is possible you've never known them. The first day you meet them, they bring help your way. You've never met them. This is why when I see people shouting and troubled, I'm wondering, do you know the God you serve? Do you know that in one day he can turn your story around? It's just for him to bring one man from nowhere and introduce to your life. Even you will be surprised. No, even you will be amazed. And then let's take one scripture before we close. 1 Samuel 30. Oh Lord, help me. I need help. Bring men my way. I need help. Can you pray in 1 minute? Oh God, bring genuine helpers my way. Lift your voice and pray. It's a very serious prayer. Oh God, bring genuine helpers my way. Bring helpers my way. Not just people who... No, helpers. I refuse to be bankrupt of helpers. I refuse to live a life without helpers. I know I'm anointed, but I need someone to endorse me. I know I'm gifted, but I need someone to say well about me. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Shabaradabakaya. At times you'll be surprised that your uncle might not even be the helper. No way. Lord, bring helpers. Korabashatatakataya. Kolabrate ketepeteya. Erabrande raboshketa. Shabababababae. Rabraskete paratapaya. Jandalaba broskete beladiata. Karabashataya. Jeteketeketa. My God, help us. Destiny, help us. Men that will matter to my rising. Hallelujah. Most of the times, the people you look up to for help are really not the one that helped you at the end. Yeah. You are dying, and as you are praying, your eyes already fixed on your uncle. You are praying, but you know where you are expecting the help. That's why it does not come. God will close it. Close it. The day you remove your eyes there and fix your eyes on the Lord, then in one moment, hallelujah. The Bible said David was in a place called Ziklag. And while he went to fight, the enemies raided his camp, took away his two wives, carried everybody captives, spoiled his place, and took away every valuables. And eventually when he returned, he was so tired and exhausted, and he cried and wept. In fact, he cried to a point that the Bible said the men that were with him thought of stoning him. But the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Which means that at times you don't need people to encourage you. There are many people like that. You are going through hell, then you look for people and share it. And the way you are sharing your story is so pathetic, so that they will tell you, hey, yeah, eh? Ooh. Then as they are troubled now with you, you are happy. If they are not troubled, you are feeling bad that they are not concerned. Come on now. The Bible says, and David encouraged himself. Especially if you are a general, there are times God will allow you to go through certain tough times, and he will make you look like nobody is seeing you, because he wants to see your reaction to that situation. Children can cry over little things, but men will look at them and smile. It means you've been trained.
It means you've been prepared. You've been built. Hallelujah. That was just a background to the story. All right, let's continue. Let's read from verse... After David encouraged himself in verse 6, 7, let's jump to verse 8 now. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fall recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. 11. And they found an Egyptian. This is my place of interest. Not an Israeli. And what? An Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David. They didn't kill him. Brought him to David and gave him what? It's in your Bible. Gave him what? Bread. And he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of fig, and two cluster, and rain and resin. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. Ah, which means you need food to live, oh, brothers and sisters. His spirit had left him. His spirit came back to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunken any water. Drunk any water 3 days and three. He was in 3 days dry. Say amen. Have you done 3 days dry before? At the end, you are seeing men like trees. You are seeing men, but like trees. That was his state. Then verse what now? 13. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to the Amalekite. And my master left me behind 3 days agone. And I fell sick. Sorry. When we made an invasion upon south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belonged to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. That was David's camp now. And David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt not kill me, nor deliver me unto the hand of my master, and I will bring it down to this company, to his company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistine and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon the camel. Verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekite had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Although God has spoken, David needed a man. Do you see it? Although God has told him, pursue them, overtake, and you will recover. God didn't tell him you're going to meet a man. Did he tell him anything like that? It's in your Bible. But eventually God orchestrated a helper on the way. The man didn't look like a helper. He looked like a dying man. Listen, there are certain people you will meet who are helpers to you, but in reality they will look like people who need help from you. If you are not wise, you might think they are not the right people. They truly look like they need help from you. In fact, at the moment they need your help, but eventually you are going to need their help tomorrow. The Bible said they fed that dying man. As soon as he has eaten and he was full, he said, show us the way. He said, this is the path, but swear unto me that you won't kill me and you won't deliver me to him. He said, why? That's not possible. The Bible said he went and recovered everything. So for you to recover all that you've lost, when you are praying the prayer of restoration, you are praying, Lord, restore to me all that I've lost. Give me all my possession. What you are saying in a nutshell is, Lord, bring to my life those who hold my blessing. Bring to me those who really are like compass to my destiny. Those who will direct me to where the blessings are.
When God wants to lift a man, he uses a man. When God wants to bless a man, he uses a man. God will never bless you without a man. He uses a human vessel. Rise on your feet. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Your presence is heaven to me, declare sin. Oh, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord for the word. Say, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you. Come on, give him praise. Come on, give him praise. Say, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your word. Rabakati balada branda gataya. Shatakate kilaba briada dadadabesh. Shambrati kasila bradakaya. Rabakasita balada dadadabesh. Kuraba shataya. Elambras getalada bradiata. Hallelujah. Two prayer points tonight. The first prayer is, oh God, whatever has sent people away from my life, any form of threat in me, it's possible I yet do not know about it. It's possible it's not yet clear to my knowing. But whatever has sent people away from me, whatever has dispositioned me for help, oh God, tonight, help me. Help me. Take me out of it. It could be anger. It could be whatever. Lift your voice and pray wherever you are. Because it's possible. This is all that is needed for you to receive help. Lord, reposition me, O God, for help. Reposition me, O God, for help. Reposition me, O God, for help. Whatever has sent people away that mattered to my life, that were supposed to be relevant to my destiny, that were supposed to be relevant to my life and destiny. Oh God, I pray tonight, bring them my way again. By your mercy, let there be a restoration. by your mercy, reposition me. Take away anger. Take away lies. Let take away dishonesty. Come on, pray for your family. Oh God, position my family for help. Position my parents for help. Position my mother for help. Position my father for help. Position my uncles for help. Position my siblings for help. Position them, oh God. Position my family. Come on, pray like someone who needs help from the Lord. Position us. Lord, I need your help. It could be spiritual help. It could be financial help. It could be favor. It could be help academically. You need a touch in your mind. Oh God, I need help. I need help. I need help. Jabrate kabarada baya. Kabraske te barada na bash. God, I need help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more prayer. You're going to pray and say, Lord, any man, any woman that matters to my life and destiny, wherever they are, don't just deceive yourself to think you are sufficient for yourself. You need men. Lord, wherever they are popularly known as destiny helpers. They might come in disguise form. You might not know them when you meet them, but truly, there is such a thing called destiny helpers. You're going to pray and say, Lord, wherever my helpers are, the helpers of my family, my parents, my siblings, wherever they are, it could be a man, it could be a woman, it could just be one person, and then you see the turnaround. Lord, wherever they are, bring them my way. And in case I've missed them, Lord, let them be restored. Bring them by restoration, the mystery of restoration. Oh God, bring them. Lift your voice and pray. God, bring them into my life. Destiny helper. Destiny help us. The helpers of this ministry. The helpers of my life. The helpers that we need to take up to our next levels. Lord, bring them. Lord, bring them. Lord, bring them. Lord, bring them. As I progress in life, as I grow in life, Lord, I will need them. I will for sure need them. Lord, bring helpers my way. Genuine friends. Genuine helpers. Genuine friends. People that matter to my destiny. People that will be a help to my destiny. Informants. Advisors. Informants. Confidants. Prayer partners. Financial helpers. Shababarada bakubra satavaya. Raba kabasila da brande getaya. Kuraba shabala da 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 da. Eraba kasila brada baya. Rabo koso prekete da 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 da. Rako para kabaya. Shaba kataya. Lord, bring men into my life. The gift of men. The gift of men. The gift of men. The gift of men. Your hands, bless the name of the Lord. Give him praise. Say, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Give him praise. Bless his name. Say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Each time the word of God comes in a particular direction, it's because it's about to do something. It usually comes with a visitation, with an impartation, an empowerment to become. The word dropped, the word dwelt among them and caused them to become. As many who receive them, rather, receive the word, to them they get power to become. Each time the word is released, it causes men to become. Sharada bakatiko sila bradaya. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Help me know you and me. Each time we come with help. Help me know you and me. Help me know.
Help me know you.
Help me know you and me. Help me know. Exit your present level to the next. What he sends is help. Tonight, to every hand lifted, I stretch my hand. I stand under the anointing of God's Spirit, the anointing of God's presence. And I decree tonight, as many who are in this place, may God send help your way. May God send help your way. To those who are in need of spiritual help, may God bring that help your way. Amen. To those who are in need of financial help, may God bring that help your way. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Anyone who needs to mention your name before your helper, anyone who needs to endorse you, anyone who needs to recommend you, it might not just be you now, but anyone related to you, I pray that by the mystery of divine help, may God bring that help your way. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. May you not be bankrupt of people in your life. May God bring people your way. Each time you need help. Each time you need help. Each time your strength is failing. Each time you are bankrupt of strategy. May God bring people who will help you out. In the name of the Lord Jesus. 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 As you journey through life, may you not lack helpers. 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 When it looks like there is no way, may God orchestrate divine help. May He bring help your way. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Chase people away from you, then they begin to say near success syndrome. It looks like it's happening, it's not happening. It's simply because someone said something about you that was not supposed to be said.
It takes one man to say something against you and then you don't have the job again. I'm praying. Be it a spiritual thing. It could be a spiritual aura around you. A smell that chases good things away. I pray by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If God brought this word, it's because he knew he was ready to set people free. I decree in the name of the Lord Jesus, may that smell be taken away. May that garment be taken away. May that spiritual covering be taken away. In the name of the Lord Jesus, may you be positioned for help. From this night, may you be positioned for help. People that matter to where you are going. People who are supposed to contribute to where you're going. Either by informations, either by advices, either by prayer, spiritual partners. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, may God bring them your way. Business partners, may God bring them your way. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You have the vision, but you need ideas. You need strategies. I pray that may God bring people your way with strategies. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You will not struggle in life as a result of lack of helpers. When you need them the most, may they show forth. And I pray that from today, may God give you the discernment not to chase the right people away. When they come, may you be able to discern them. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord send you help from Zion. The Lord be gracious unto you. May you never be stranded a day in your life. Each time you are stranded, may God raise a helper for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lift your hands, bless the name of the Lord. Give him praise. Say, Lord, thank you. I receive help. Thank him. Say, Lord, thank you. I receive help tonight. I receive help tonight. I receive help tonight. Oh, Shibarada Bakatiana. Shambratiku Rabashitaba. Kabratiko Sibralaba de Gedelevesh. Oh, go ahead, pray in the spirit. Say, Lord, I receive help tonight. I receive help tonight. Thank you, Lord. I receive help tonight. I won't struggle through life. Oh, God, I receive help tonight. Enough of the struggles. I receive help tonight. From this week, may I begin to see people all around me ready to help. Ready to help. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Quickly, while everybody stand. You know you are here, you are not born again. I want to pray for you. Or you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, wherever you are. I want you to lift your hand. I want to pray for you and welcome you back home. That's where it starts from. Anyone like that in this house, can you lift your hand? You are saying, Pastor, please pray for me. I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. Or I need to just come back home fully this night. Wherever you are, can you lift your hands? I want to pray for you. Anyone like that in this place this night? None. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, quickly. You've not been here before. This is your first time. Come out quickly. We want to pray for you and bless you before we close. Wherever you are, today is your first day here. Can you take a step forward? Come. We want to bless you and pray for you. Wherever you are, can you celebrate them as they come? Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Please keep celebrating them. Keep celebrating them. Thank you for coming. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. We are so excited having you around. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. This is Family Worship Experience International. I want to believe you've been blessed this night. We are so excited having you. Your coming is like a prayer answer to us. And we're going to pray for you this night. And then join our faith with you and decree that the Lord step into your life in a new way. Amen. The Bible says, such as I have, I give unto you. Please, wherever you are, can you stretch forth your hands? Prophesy and speak over their lives. Bless them with the blessings of heaven. Bless them with the blessings of heaven. Bless them. Speak over their lives. Father, I speak over their lives tonight and I decree in the name of the Lord Jesus, bless them. As they leave this place, their lives are blessed. No one remains the same, oh God. Whatever has been their heart desire, I pray, Lord, just like the word tonight, send help. Send help. Let there be a miracle in the name of the Lord Jesus. For being in this place tonight, Lord, do something in their life that will be a testimony.
in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says one chase a thousand, two will chase 10,000. I release my faith with you and I partner with you. I release my faith and I join it with your faith. I declare that let there be an answer for your desires. Let every challenge turn to a testimony. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it is well with you and you are favored. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for coming. We love you and we celebrate you. Please, in 1 minute, someone is right out there to welcome you and give you a warm welcome before we close. Thank you so much. Can you just direct them? Thank you so much. Take this way. Bless them. Please keep celebrating them. Keep celebrating them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, 1 minute, please be seated before we close. Hey.